Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Profiles in Risk. I am your host, Nick Lamparelli. I am very pleased to have a special guest. His name is Blaine Hoffman. He is the VP. He is a VP at iReport Source, and he's also a podcaster. He is a producer and host at the Safety Pro podcast, and we're going to be talking about workplace safety, a topic that I don't think we've discussed enough. We've had a few guests doing wearables and other things, but I wanted to dig in more into this sort of loss control and try to help companies and insurance professionals learn more about that. So Blaine, welcome to Profiles in Risk.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'm glad I have this opportunity to talk to your audience about a very important topic like this and how we can kind of bridge that, you know, something like workplace safety over to sort of this risk management side of the house and see how we can kind of make that connection and improve. I've enjoyed your podcast as well. I've checked it out, and it's always good to talk to another podcaster.
And I can always tell when I'm talking to a podcaster because your audio is beautiful.
Oh, thanks. You know the drill. We put a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears into trying to perfect that, and it never quite gets where we want it to. But yeah. In true podcast form, I have converted a home office into a recording studio. So you may hear some children in the background. I am home, and last day of school, they're out back playing right outside this window. So what a perfect scenario for the topic we're going to talk about, you know, safety. And, you know, the reminder for me is why I should stay safe is out back playing. So you may hear them. So
that's okay. I think I have you beat, though, in terms of home office. So for people watching, here we go. I'm going to have that little critter in the back probably screaming in about 15 minutes to get out of my little tiny room with my green screen. So if you hear a cat screaming, my audience might be used to it because it's she's done that a few times.
That's so awesome.
We can compete, kids versus cats.
There you go.
So let's jump right in. I always give the guests the soapbox to start. iReport Source, what is it? What do you do?
So iReport Source, essentially, to wrap it up into a nutshell, is an all-in-one safety management system for companies that are looking to kick paper to the curb, essentially, right?
And always want to do that.
Absolutely. Digitize their processes, but really achieve not just the efficiencies related to moving to the cloud and the secure type of system like that, not those, just those efficiencies, but also, you know, shorten that time frame from, you know, becoming aware of an incident or a condition or workplace hazard, getting it reported, and being able to respond and mitigate, manage that risk. You know, shorten that to basically instantly being notified when it's entered into the system by a user on the other end that's either facing the hazard or maybe even having a notification sent to a sort of a claims manager as well and being immediately notified that, you know, a claim is pending or impending and, you know, needs some further investigation, be able to get on that right away, that reducing or eliminating in some cases that sort of lag time that it takes from the claim happening to being able to manage it, that's very powerful. So iReport Source allows companies to essentially, you know, do just that. And so that's sort of nutshelling it for you.
Yep.
There's some more to it than that we can dive into.
The timing aspect's so critical. Can you talk about why that's important? Why is it important for employees to raise the red flag quickly?
Well, several reasons. So one is obviously, time is our enemy when it comes to, you know, gathering facts and data information about an event, right? People lose their memory, changes over time. People forget things, conditions, workplace physical conditions change, things get moved around. So that's a problem right there in and of itself. But before an incident even happens, let's say we're just talking about a hazard or a potential, you know, for a hazard to become an incident. Somebody wants to report that, you know, this allows that to take place instantly. Whereas, you know, in a paper-based system that, or what we call a disconnected system, mm-hmm. you know, the operator's facing a risk and has to make that choice. Well, do I stop the machine, walk back to the front of the facility, grab the card, walk back, fill it out, or try to find my supervisor? Or do I just say, you know what? I've only got an hour and a half left on my shift. I know that guard is broken. I'm not going to stick my arm in there. So I'm just going to, I can manage that. The longer that hazard persists in the environment, we know the likelihood that it causes an injury or exposes the company to some risk goes up. Yeah. So removing the barrier, just the simple barrier of a paper or disconnected or manual system, that's huge. That's a huge advantage for an organization.
Yeah. And so can we talk a little bit about the technology? How can employees report red flags, number one?
So essentially, you know, using a mobile app, any mobile app or a desktop computer or a laptop. So we recognize in industrial environments, sometimes cell phones aren't able to be used for some reason, but most industrial manufacturing sites, they have a workstation, whether it be laptops or PC set up, you know, in certain areas. Being able to walk right over, log in and report a hazard to, you know, notify your supervisor, it's as simple as that. It's almost like posting something on social media or a tweet. Okay. It's that simple. As a matter of fact, that when you log into iReportSource, the first screen that pops up looks like a social media feed. If anything that you've submitted or that's assigned to you is, you know, pending, your My Tasks are there in chronological order. You can also see, you know, if you're an administrator, any hazards or incidents or claims that have come in such order. It's sort of like a social media feed. So you know what's not been followed up on, what's still open, hasn't been closed. And so it's very user-friendly, but we tried to, you know, we did a really good job of making it super simple for anybody to capture whatever's happening in the workplace or even remotely out on the road, for example, and be able to submit that.
Yep. Do employees see it? Can they?
Yes, all users can see what pertains to them. So the way the system works is we can sort of control based on your user license, your role definition. Mm-hmm. So if you're an administrator or a collaborator or supervisor or just a user, you will be able to see different things, and the company can control some of that as well. So we obviously don't want every worker out there to see sort of, you know, all the employees, their date of birth, address, that's all that's secured for privacy reasons, obviously. So that's locked down to the one administrator. So you'll have either a safety manager, HR person, something like that, that would only have access to that. You can also lock it down to, you know, area of the business. So if I have X, you know, ABC Manufacturing has five departments, you know, 1 through 5, you know, department manager and department one could only see, if we set it up this way, could only see things that are going on in his or her department and wouldn't see necessarily the trends, you know, metrics and incidents that are popping up in department two, because I don't have that kind of span of control. I don't have oversight of department two. I'm only concerned with right now what is going on in department one. When I log in, I'll see that feed.
Yeah. If we can talk about OSHA for a second, my guess is, for as an outsider that does not know a lot about this particular area, that having a reporting system like this is likely, would it be likely that OSHA would be more lenient when it comes to potential fines or other things because a system is in place. Bad things can still happen, but the company itself is putting itself in a better position when it comes to outside judgment because they've put in the ability for employees to do things, for employers to track things. And yeah, there's still bad things can happen, but it's, you're eliminating the egregious stuff. Am I right or wrong in that hypothesis?
No, that's correct. As a matter of fact, this opens up a whole nother can of worms that, if I could just think of a podcast format, like a topic format that I could do. And, no.
How about safety?
Yeah. So this is what I talk about on the Safety Pro podcast. And what we do at iReportSource is address these problems. So, let's talk about just record keeping. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they enforce specific record keeping rules when it comes to workplace injuries and accidents that meet certain OSHA criteria, mm-hmm. right? Well, the record keeping rules don't really specify, they specify the information you have to keep and collect, but they don't really dictate how you keep it. That lends itself to a lot of variables mm-hmm. from organization to organization. And that also lends itself to one of the most frequently cited violations that OSHA has year over year, record keeping violations. So there is risk of violating OSHA standards and getting into, thousands of dollars per citation just because you're not keeping the right documents in the correct manner.
Yep.
Asking for the right information that they require that you ask for, having a, let's say, file folder that has, some information in it, some supervisor has a sheet of paper that they didn't turn in. There's just all kinds of risk involved with a paper-based system. With iReportSource, obviously, there's one claim, one, incident that gets logged, and then every single document associated with that is either filled out within iReportSource, or you can then attach it as a scanned document, attach it to that claim, that incident in iReportSource. So you keep it all in that one ecosystem. Nothing has to leave that system. So you can even assign a task to a supervisor. Hey, I need you to go get a witness statement, or I need three more photos of that area. We don't have any. You assign the task from iReportSource, they have to come back into iReportSource to upload their photos. It keeps it all in one spot. Furthermore, you can actually give access to a claims adjuster, if we're talking about workers' comp, to be able to get notified when an incident is logged. And also, they can log in and leave notes about the claim, the progress or status of the claim. Right there in iReportSource, it keeps it. That's why we say it's an all-in-one. You never have to leave that system. It's really powerful.
I bet you feel quite a few questions though about. I don't want my insurance company to see this until we're ready to see that. We're ready for them to see this.
Yeah, you have full control over that.
Okay. Good. Then someone smart at iReportSource, they're thinking ahead. Because that would probably be the first thing I would be concerned about is I don't want them peeking in and seeing what's going on. Blaine, what are some of the common errors or the most egregious errors that you see that are either, fixable or shouldn't necessarily be that way?
As far as record keeping goes?
Record keeping, safety, around safety, whether it's the actual incidences themselves or the record keeping, what are some of the egregious stuff that's happening, that mistakes companies are making?
Oh my goodness. It runs the gamut. Having been doing this for almost 25 years, I'm still shocked when I see some things.
Shocked, but not surprised.
Correct. You never say you think you've seen it all because something's going to happen. So, I had an episode covering record keeping errors and how to avoid them. So I'll kind of go to sort of that list of five, and then I can talk about some of the some of the other hazards. So with record keeping, one, not understanding what an OSHA recordable work restriction or work injury is. That's one common mistake. So with iReport Source, the actual workflow of answering questions was, you know, was medical treatment given off-site at a medical clinic? Was anybody hospitalized? Was there a restricted duty? This all helps you understand, you know, this is going to trigger an entry on our OSHA 300 log of injuries and illnesses. We kind of build that workflow in there to help employers figure that out. The second one is not using enough detail in the record. So we ask some mandatory questions. We use drop downs where appropriate to avoid folks just entering nonsensical, words or phrases that aren't helpful or won't make sense. So we try to keep it super simple, but we ask for the right amount of detail that will get us to the next phase, which is doing a root cause analysis and corrective action and preventative action. The third thing is, you know, not using a system to track days away from work, works days on restriction or other work type of events. You know, this will actually help keep track of that for you as well. And that, we know, helps you manage the claim better. So the fourth one is just not keeping your OSHA injury logs up to date during the mandatory 5-year storage period. Because it's in the cloud and it's secure, it's encrypted, it's memorialized for you. You won't have to worry about that. And so if you do get audited or you do have some regulator or, you know, God forbid, litigation, you have access to all the data. There's no, you know, rummaging around through file boxes, going to some pod storage place you have somewhere down the road where you think maybe the rats didn't get to it, that kind of stuff. And I've seen that very case.
So, I mean, I'm guessing OSHA's not forgiving if you have paper forms. And let's say you did put them in a pod and the pod got flooded and the paperwork was destroyed. What you're saying is OSHA's not very forgiving.
All I'm hearing is you can't produce what they're asking for.
Yeah.
That's it. The onus is on the employer. The employer shall. And then .. So yeah, we've got to make sure that we are, you know, doing everything we can to meet that standard. And then the fifth one that you bring up is the lack of alignment between workers' comp record keeping and OSHA record keeping. This is one a lot of folks miss. So if you're self-insured or if you're state funded, like in Ohio and a few other states, it's the same case. You have a workers' comp report about the injury, how it happened, you know, the mechanism of injury, the diagnosis and restrictions, but yet you've reported something different on your OSHA log. If that differential, we eliminate that with iReport Source because it's one report. It's used for both purposes.
Can someone get into trouble if those don't match?
Yeah, often what happens is initially you log it on you put it on your OSHA log and you put it in a drawer or file, but then the case continues to age, have some complications, they get re-injured or aggravated, they go back on light duty, and you forget to count those additional days of restriction or off duty. Something happens on the OSHA log side where you're managing on the claim side and they're not matched up. You know, we don't reconcile that.
It sounds like iReport Source is beyond just technology. It's almost like a very indirect insurance policy, you know, against fines and those kinds of regulatory or legal issues.
You're spot on right there. Yeah. You're writing our next blog post for us. So yeah, and to that point, when we look at some other risk that we have, just take, for example, OSHA's requirement to do frequent, you know, workplace inspections. You know, with our risk assessment tool, you can conduct and even assign at some sort of regular interval, have it repeat. You can assign risk assessments to people to conduct in key areas, you know, whether it's OSHA required or general inspections that would satisfy the general requirement to conduct inspections. But that all gets documented within iReport Source. So you could fill out, you know, some questions and mark whether the condition is safe or unsafe or not applicable. And anything that's not safe, you can add notes, you can add photos, you can drop work instructions or files related to that condition. And then you can actually assign that task of of closing that open item, making that safe to maybe a maintenance, personnel to create a work order to fix this machine that's not safe, or to clean up an area, do some housekeeping, or something like that. So you keep it all within iReport source, and you could see how powerful this is. If there were an injury and it's related to a machine, and for some reason you have to show to some outside agency, show me that you've inspected this machine recently, or you've got all that.
Yeah,
you have all that evidence.
Yeah. You've been doing this for quite some time. So how has workplace safety evolved over time? Are companies taking this pretty seriously now?
Oh, absolutely. I think any of us at any time can lament, that this organization or this industry isn't doing enough of this or that. But I think by and large, we've come a long way. We have a lot of work to do. And, companies like iReport Source are certainly on the leading edge, pushing sort of that envelope. But from when I started, I don't know if you remember these, how old you are, but I'm going to date myself here. I started with a pocket PC when the first pocket PC came out, an HP pocket PC. It had the hard case cover and it flipped open like a tricorder. It looked awesome. I said people were using it for contacts and emails. You would have to, connect at work and sync it up. But you had to download your emails and then you could read them later offline. There were, Wi-Fi wasn't a thing. So I said, hey, I can load a checklist on this thing. And I can go around, at the time it was in the construction industry, I can go around and do my checklists and take notes and then mount this thing in the cradle when I get back to the office and sync it up and print those out and email them if I had to. So, I was always looking toward technology to help me be more efficient, but also keep everything organized, tidy, neat, and in one place, because I knew at any point in time I could be in front of the Industrial Commission for a workers' comp case, or down at OSHA in an informal conference or a hearing, and I would have to produce evidence that we are doing this, that, or the other per the OSHA standard or something like that. So I was always aware of using technology to help me be more efficient and to sort of memorialize my activities in one place and in one format. And then I went on to a tablet PC. It was a Toshiba convertible tablet. And this was Windows XP tablet PC edition. But I was always fascinated with using, how can I use technology better? The downside, the problem I was having is nobody else was doing that. And, software was sort of sketchy. It did one thing well, but not two things well. And you had to cobble a bunch of different systems together, and including hardware, to make anything work really well for you. So on the workplace safety side, what has really evolved is the technology. And we're getting more and more technologically advanced, and tools like iReport Source being an all-in-one safety management system for organizations is sort of where we need to keep pushing in that direction. And we do see more and more companies adopting this. And I think it's driven more by the expectations of newer cultures coming into the workplace.
Sure.
They expect technology to be utilized and available to them at work because it's a big part of their everyday lives to begin with.
Yeah. I was going to have a bunch of cheeky comments when you were talking about your pocket PC. I could just picture you at some hearing pulling out your pocket PC and you saying, well, look at my checklist. Like who else does this? Or I could imagine OSHA saying to you after all that hard work, syncing everything up to just send them a fax.
Yeah. And that happened in two cases. So one was I had to fax all of the inspection forms to them. And so I did. I was able to print and fax them. I couldn't even e-fax at the time. This was, back before then. But I got somebody asking me about a fax like a couple of weeks ago. And I said, really? Do you know what year this is? I don't
have a fax. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's freaking amazing. You know, thank God for like email fax services. If someone asked me for a fax, that's what I would do. I would just see, like, can I find a service that will throw an advertising on it and do it for free one time? Because I wouldn't know how to do it, or pay $5 to have UPS do it.
Yeah, so mobile, so to that point, like mobile technology, you know, with data connections, cellular connections, it has unlocked a whole new world for solutions to be developed for companies looking for this. And you think about a claims adjuster, you're a company that you have drivers in the field, and maybe there's a fender bender. Maybe you backed into a pole or something. And, you know, imagine being able to get out, grab your phone, actually have diagrams of intersections, parking lots, take photos, circle it with your finger and draw on the photo, get relevant information, another driver's information, license plate number, enter all of that in and hit submit, boom, and you've submitted a claim. You've submitted an incident. That's the power, and we can do it, by the way, all of that in iReport source. That gave you an exact example how we can do DOT or vehicle accidents in iReport source. That has come a long way. It's so powerful now that if you're not doing something like this, I still scratch my head. I look at companies and say, why are you messing with spreadsheets, pivot tables, and manila folders? It's insane.
Well, I bump into that all the time. And, we're all in business, but I think a lot of folks just cannot separate an expense from an investment. To them, they're the same thing. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Like, your time is valuable. Why would you do something that's like, would take you more time and you'd have to duplicate effort when you can use technology to kind of streamline that and save yourself time? But people can't mentally put an ROI on time. I see it all the time. I bitch and complain about it like every day. Like, time is money and we are wasting a lot of time having to do it this way. But it's, there are a lot of businesses that just cannot keep up. And so that's I'll step off my soapbox now. It drives me crazy.
I'll one up you. We do a fair amount. We spend a fair amount of time educating customers and prospects and just the industry on how to properly calculate the ROI for technological investments. And not just because it's self-serving, but for what you just said, folks struggle with, especially from, the cost standpoint of coming up with that, but you can quantify it. And we're developing a calculator. Christy and I, our CEO, and RG, our, product manager, we're developing just this week, putting the final touches on a cost calculator, an ROI calculator, I should say, where, we can quantify this. We can say, this is a key element of a safety program that OSHA expects, being able to conduct frequent inspections. This is the average time it takes on a paper-based system and some of the risk. This is the time you could save weekly with a digital solution like iReport Source. That equals out to, and then you just plug in the hourly rate for your safety coordinator or a manager or whoever you have assigning these weekly, inspections. And we can estimate the amount of time it takes on average to do a workplace inspection or fill out a claim and then have that claim, the average age of a claim. We have this data from, managed care organizations and TPAs. We can get, hey, what's the average life cycle of a claim from when it's submitted to when you manage it to close or, to some sort of acceptable state? And, they can say it's 18 days, it's 22 days. We can shorten that by half or more using an instant system like this, in the workplace. So we can help businesses understand the ROI and make better decisions in investing in technology like this. So that's sort of what iReport Source is doing. And along with that, we do have a patent pending on a safety scoring factor. So this safety factor is sort of a score, a number you would get similar to an EMR, but completely The way we arrive at this number is completely different, right? It combines leading and lagging indicators and some predictive measures in there. The safety score is what we've envisioned being the standard that companies will use for going forward to indicate how safe, I'm using air quotes, right? How safe they are. So the problem with an EMR, experience modification rate, is that it can be manipulated. It's based on lagging indicators only. We're developing this safety score. It will eventually become part of iReport Source, almost like a credit score, right, for a company. It'll be the number that companies use that, like, say, hey, what's your safety score? And mine's, whatever, 580. And what's yours? Oh, it's only 472, but, we're doing something. So you can actually use that number across industries, across companies, and get a true sense of the safety performance for that company. So that's a standard we're pushing and we're driving right now. So it's an exciting time to be in this industry right now.
That would have ramifications just for liability as well. Slip and falls, stuff like that potentially.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you think of a company that does, basically they do no training whatsoever. They don't have any machine guarding. They don't have any housekeeping standards. Maybe they've just been lucky and haven't had a slip and a fall.
That's a good point.
So when you're looking backwards, you're going to, actuarially, right? When you look at setting premiums or estimating risk, you're going to say on paper, they're not as risky as some other companies, but they are. It's the risk is there.
Completely.
They maybe manipulated things. They've kept things off book. I've had companies pay cash for urgent care visits. I've seen this in my experience. So there are ways to do that. So with a safety score of combining leading and lagging indicators, and obviously, using, automating some of this, and using machine learning and artificial intelligence, we can sort of learn what needs to be done moving forward in each organization, whether it's increasing the number of inspections based on the findings that get entered, where it will automatically, eventually, is this future state, right? Automatically assign additional inspections in a certain area based on what's being put in. That'll help you manage that risk down, and we can actually achieve a numerical value around all those efforts. It'll be hard to escape it. And if you don't have a safety score, folks are going to say, well, how do I know? Right? So that's where we want to go.
Yeah, that reminds me of a quick story dealing with flood insurance. A woman that I was talking to who got very upset with me when I told her how risky her home was in Houston, Texas for flood. And she said, well, I've been living in this home for 20 years and it's never flooded. And it's like, yeah, you've been lucky. And then sure enough, like I said, she said, she hadn't had a flood during Harvey. But I said, well, what happened during Ike? Oh, well, the water came up the street, but it didn't flood our property. I said, yeah, exactly. Ike was a Category 2 storm. Just wait till the Category 5 comes. Your house is going to get flooded. Same thing. Like when you look in the rear view, it's we are supposed to be forward facing. But so it's like driving a car, but using the rear view mirror as our guide as to how the road is moving. You could do it. You better go really slowly though. If you try to pick up any speed, you're going to get into trouble.
Absolutely. So, and we hear it in safety all the time. The electrician, straddling a folding ladder at the top, and then saying, okay, well, you're not supposed to work in that manner. I've done it this way.
My whole life.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, your secret's safe with me. I won't tell anybody if you won't.
I wish I was that lucky person, because I worked for a contractor putting myself through college. I stood on the top rung of a 6-foot ladder. First step down, the ladder started to rock. I couldn't recontrol it and came tumbling down. First time I ever did that, came tumbling down on that ladder and broke some ribs. So I know what that's like. I'll never do that again.
Yeah. Tough lesson to learn.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask about the podcast. This is a podcast, so the audience can go, they can mute or they can shut this off now, because you and I are going to kibitz about podcasting. But why? First of all, it's always heartening, you know, and inspiring when I hear about a podcaster who's in a niche like yours and doing superbly well, because it gives me inspiration for mine. But it just goes to show you, like, we live in with this digital age, we live in a niche environment, and people want to hear more about their little corner of the world. And you are talking about your little corner of the world. Talk about your podcast. Why'd you get it started?
Well, the Safety Pro podcast, it started because I knew eventually I wanted to get out of, you know, traditional corporate consulting. I had done that for a decade, and I knew I wanted to transition out of that. But I still wanted to satisfy this need that I had to, you know, drone on about what I know to people. And, you know, instead of trying to capture an audience, you know, physically, I figured it was easier to just start recording this stuff. And if people wanted to listen to it, they could choose to.
Yep.
And it sounds like I'm joking, and I'm not. I actually, podcasting was the perfect medium for me to go to satisfy that need. I still had to share this information. And it started, you know, I started podcasting in 2014. So it was way back then, but I will say that it didn't take off until, you know, a couple of years later. I had three different podcasts going. The Safety Pro was sort of my passion. And I ditched the other two and went all in with the Safety Pro 2016 or so, full time, doing it weekly episode. I miss a week here and there for, you know, family reasons and scheduling, because I try to keep the topics, you know, pretty timely, but I try not to let them get too stale and record too far ahead. But I started doing that. It started getting more traction, and it just, more people started listening. I didn't do any advertising. I have a Twitter page, a Twitter account, I'm sorry. You know, I had a Facebook page. I still do, but I'm not as active on it, but I would post there. But really, it was word of mouth, and it was, you know, former client employees would catch it and then send me messages. And then slowly but surely, it started to build my inbox. I would get four or five emails a week, LinkedIn requests, and I still do. So it was satisfying to hear, to see that I'm getting some reach with the podcast, not downloads. I don't even look at downloads. I'll look at unique downloads every once in a while to see how an episode is trending. But I look at podcast world, we talk in terms not of ROI, return on investment. We think in terms of ROI, return on influence. So you want to look at, what kind of influence am I having with my market, with my niche market, who I'm talking to. So the feedback is very satisfying, and folks were saying, hey, I listened to this episode about, you know, improving workplace safety culture. I have a problem with some supervisors. I'm wondering if you, and they would ask me questions. And so I kicked right into consulting mode. So I still get to help people. And I answer those questions. I give them whatever advice I can. I send them in a direction that I need to send them in if I can't. I share with them templates and downloads and information. And I literally have nothing to sell on the podcast. So, so that begs the question of, okay, what are you doing with the podcast if you're not monetizing it, right? And this is a podcast question, a podcaster question. Well, more interested in partnerships. So I started doing a couple of things with some companies where I would read about them and it felt like a commercial. And so that didn't work out well for me. Well, I found iReport Source found me. We started talking and they thought, you know what? We love what you're doing. We want to support you in continuing to educate listeners on the importance of, you know, improving workplace safety in general.
Yep.
They were very clear that they didn't want to commercialize the podcast and turn it into an infomercial. They love the independent voice. That actually led to a full-time position as VP, helping them simplify safety. So it's a fantastic partnership. I still do the podcast for that reason. It's the Safety Pro Podcast powered by iReport Source. And it's a great marriage of their technology and this awesome medium that we have available to us to reach more people and to help them improve workplace safety. So iReport Source is all in on with podcasting. They are an all-in-one digital solution, and that's what I'm all about, helping my listeners simplify safety. It was a perfect match. What can I say?
Yeah, I like the return on influence. I couldn't have said it better.
I wish I could take credit for that one. That actually goes to my podcast host, Libsyn. And so I listened to the feed, and because it's totally, I'm geeking out on podcast stuff, and the feed is the podcast for podcasters. And they mention that all the time. We need to think less in terms of investment and what, you know, a return of money I'm going to get back. And we need to think in terms of how is my podcast influencing people, and then we can leverage that influence to have them take action. Yeah. And my call to action is taking what they listened to in this episode. Now go try it out in the workplace. It's actionable info. I don't do guru speak, sage talk, no management theory. I don't stroke my chin and talk about, you know, ivory tower theories and concepts. Mm-hmm. This is real stuff they can use to help protect their people today at work.
Yep. I love that. I love that a lot. I was in a meeting with a reinsurer, and someone pulled me aside, someone I had never met before, and said, by the way, I love your podcast. And that said it all. That was like a year ago. And that said it all, because to me, it was like this person knew me and I didn't know him. And that helped me in that meeting. That could have helped me get the meeting. Who knows?
Yeah.
But like, that's that kind of influence. And so I agree with you 100%. And when people ask us about monetizing it, my podcast, I'm interested, but it's got to be the right fit. You know, we're not going to, I listen to Tim Ferriss and some of these other ones, and I'm just, you know, I fast forward through the ads. I don't like it. And especially when they're like 3 minutes long, drives me crazy. I like your approach. It reminds me of the old, now I'm going to date myself. Ready? Yeah. The old Wild Kingdom, Mutual of Omaha.
Yes.
I love that. Like, to me, like, if you want to partner with our podcast, that's the best way to do it. It's then my audience doesn't think like you're trying to sell them something. So I think that's a better fit. And you know, the partner comes off as a sponsor and someone that is trying to be altruistic versus trying to pitch a product. So if you're out there, I'm taking calls, but how about, you know, Profiles and Risk hosted by or powered by, State Farm.
We could definitely talk offline about that, but you know, it was a perfect find with iReport Source because our mission, and this is going to sound goofy and people are going to go roll their eyes, but this is true. It's our mission is so aligned that we couldn't not do something together.
Yeah,
it kind of, we just looked at each other in the meetings. It was like, why aren't we doing this? This is the iReport Source, the team, Christy, RG, you know, Brad, Drew, in the sales team, and the developers are insane. I feel so stupid walking into that office. It's not even funny. These folks, the men and women that work on the development side, solving these complex problems with technology, it's incredible. We just looked at each other and, you know, we had to do something. Their mission is to help companies keep their employees safe. And I said, okay, you got me. Let's talk about what that means. And I was just blown away about what their mission is and how they're going about solving it. I can't not talk about it on the podcast and share it as a tool, as an actionable item that my listeners can take advantage of, not selling them, you know, something, but taking what we're learning from our customers and taking the data that we're gathering and how folks interact with processes, whether they be and then sharing that with the listeners, it's perfect because that's free. I'm giving that away to them, that information, and they can act on it. It's a perfect partnership. So yeah, you're right. That's where it's at. You know, forget sponsors. Yep. You need to partner and align with somebody who's after the same thing you are.
Yep. Love that story. Fantastic. I'm going to transition and finish off this podcast the way I usually do. Instead of just asking you for an influential book, which is the next question, how about something on safety? For those that are listening that might want, are there any Bibles of safety, books on safety that you would recommend for you know, risk managers, insurance professionals that want to you know, raise their game?
So my answer would be different based on the personas you just listed. So an insurance adjuster or insurance person, I would recommend, you know, laws and regulations related to safety and health, and making sure you understand those so that you can go in and help the folks that you underwrite when you go in and you know, look for some of these potential violations and be able to, one, help them correct them, but two, get a better sense of the total risk that you're looking at within that organization if you're underwriting them, right? And that's what this is all about. We're going to underwrite this facility, all of its equipment, materials, and people and activities. I need to better understand what laws and regulations are required, you know, that govern that activity. So that's where I would go. If we're talking about a business or a manager or a supervisor, you know, there are so many books out there, but, you know, a couple come to mind about lean safety, integrating lean manufacturing principles with safety management. You know, that's where it's at. You need to educate yourself on lean manufacturing, lean management, get some of those books to help you make, you know, manage safety more efficiently, but see the benefits of focusing on the process and solving process problems versus focusing on people, because that's traditional old school safety is you get injured. What did you do? What did you do wrong? Where, you know, what we want to start thinking about is, okay, well, what were you doing and how could that have happened in the current process? Where, what can we improve in our process side to keep that from happening again to you or anybody else? And, you know, that's more collaborative. It sounds like it's a little more work, but there are actually some lean tools out there that you can use. So I would encourage anybody else that wants to learn about this stuff, just use lean principles and apply them to safety problems. And, you know, and that's what we do every day at iReportSource as well. So that's a good one.
Have there been any books that have been particularly influential in your business or personal life?
Oh my goodness. A lot of them. So when I was consulting, Patrick Lencioni is a good author. He's one of my favorite authors. The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Politics, Silos, and Turf Wars. That's a good one. But when I was getting into consulting and I started to develop my own approach to how I would get customers, clients, how I would find them and how they could find me, I decided I didn't want to do ads, Google ads, or do, you know, conferences and have booths at conferences. I wanted to stay away from all that. I found a book called Getting Naked. And no, it's not what you think it is. It's about not being afraid to bare yourself, you know, in front of a client, not being afraid to look stupid by asking, you know, certain questions, not being afraid to lose work, you know, sort of drawing a line in the sand as to, you know, what you are and aren't willing to do in the service industry. So anybody in the service industry, you know, should get that book that's concerned with, you know, customer success and serving your customers. Getting Naked by Mr. Lencioni is a really, really good book. And it changed the way I approach my consulting business and has helped shape, you know, how I do everything from working at iReportSource today to the podcast. It explains sort of how I got to where I am today in helping others. First, looking to serve without the expectation of anything in return.
That's fantastic. I will put links to those on the show notes, links to your podcast. Your podcast is already listed on the podcast channel, Insurance Nerds, but we'll blast it out also on the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on, spending some time talking about workplace safety. And let's do a demo or let's do more next time. We give people an idea of what they should be doing and how they should be doing it and how they might potentially benefit from using iReportSource.
That would be fantastic. I would love to, since you're utilizing video in your production as well, that would lend itself perfect to a demo. And anybody that wants to learn more information can simply go to iReportSource.com and can learn more there.
Yep. We'll put all of that on the show notes. My guest this week has been Blaine Hoffman. Blaine, thanks again. Appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. I had a great time, and I'm sure we'll talk more offline about podcasting. And
we sure will. You better believe it. Okay, everyone. Thank you.